Thank you, Jonathan. Do you know when you see more people coming and your nerves start to grow a wee bit more? And you're thinking, oh, a wee bit nervous. And then you see somebody just walking by nonchalant, walking their dog, looking at it like that. Ah, what's that mob up to? And it makes me feel a wee bit better when that happens. But I want to talk about making choices, funnily enough, because people are making amazing choices today. People are fantastic choices. I'm so happy about it. But there's those people that can't decide. Like me, when I'm shopping, I hate shopping. With a passion, I hate shopping. There's too many choices. And then I try and kid on and be nice and give Naomi the choice. And she hates making decisions too, apparently. She gets that from me and tries to put it back. I said, we're standing there for 20 minutes trying to just arguing with who's going to make a decision. And then another 20 minutes to actually make it. So, but there's so many options a day. Choices are endless. And it's getting even more so. I mean, you can choose a new name, a new gender. You can even change your species, apparently. Or so they say. And so the choices are endless, and it's confusing. It's scary. It's a bit mental. But I want to read this out. This is 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. It's that confusion. It's just, it's sent to deceive and to mix us up and to plant seeds of doubt. But God's a God of peace, and he's a God of order, and he knows what he's doing. And that makes me feel a wee bit better. When I'm like, I've got absolutely no idea what's going on, but I'm going to trust him, because he's never steered me wrong. He's never steered me wrong. Anyway, so I'm going to read a few wee verses. I'm going to talk about it as a day, and I'm going to keep it short, as I've been told. So 1 John 4:1 says, Beloved, that's us. It's great, isn't it? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for so many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I was thinking about this. There's so many things that are trying to lead us away and grab and steal our attention. Huh? So many shiny things. And I was like, especially when I was studying, I'd be trying to focus. And I'd be like, right, I need to get this done. I've got a deadline. This has to be in at midnight. I've got 2,000 words to write. It's 20 to 12. And then I'll put a TV on for some background noise. And then the next minute, oh, look at that. Look what they're selling in Lidl. And then the next minute, it's 10 to. And I'm emailing my tutor frantically for an extension at 10 to 12. Because things are coming to steal our attention over what's important, over what we need to hear. And it's trying to steal our attention, and it's trying to steal more than our attention. It's trying to steal that opportunity for making the right choice, a good choice. And that's what the enemy's trying to do. And here's what I was thinking about. We talk about truth, don't we? And truth isn't complicated. It's not complicated. We complicate stuff. We turn it into an absolute, well, I don't know about yous, maybe yous don't, but I turn stuff into a nightmare, because I'm complicated. I'm a complicated mess. But then God comes in and he brings order. And all that thinking, because we're transformed by the new lay of mind, and my mind was all over the place, suddenly there's peace. And I started to make right decisions, and I got into a habit of making some good decisions. And it was because I started to focus on God and not be swayed by all the shiny things that the world had to offer and was putting in my path to try and derail me from God's plan and purpose for my life. And I'm so happy for that. I was thinking about attention spans. I was looking at some papers that have been published, and there's quite a few more recently. And people's attention spans over the last decade have dwindled. And some say, oh, it's the digital age, and you know, there's there's different schools of thought on this that would say, well, actually, it helps people's, and but for me, it's choice. It's all these different choices, and choice is good. It's good to have choice, but it depends who's laying them before you, whether they're good or bad. Because sometimes I've had choices, and both of them were absolutely shocking. And it was trying to, the best of a bad situation, you heard that? I've been in that place many a time, and I've put myself smack bang there because I wasn't listening to the person who was giving me the good opportunities, because I was wanting to take the easy way out. The easy way out. So I'm going to read this. This is Matthew 4:18. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. They were fishermen. Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, I'll show you how to fish for people." They left their nets at once and followed him. Is that not great? I love that. That is simple, isn't it? It's simple. Come here, you. Yep, no bother. And you're thinking, oh, your other mates must have been going, where are they going? They only started 10 minutes ago. Looking over at a gaffer, complaining. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in their boat. Their father, their dad, repairing their nets. And he called to them, "Come too." They immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. Their dad must have been raging. Staring at Jesus, giving him the death stare. How you? They've no finished mending their nets yet. That means I've got to do it. Huh? But it's simple. Jesus didn't give them all. It's come. Come. Spoken with authority. But he said, come. And they went. They went, come. Okay. Because what were they? They must have been waiting for somebody to come and say, come. Now, at time, there would have been those claiming to be the Messiah, those claiming, follow me, my way is the right way. But at that point in time, it's... Have you ever had somebody tell you an absolute whopper? And you're sitting there and you're looking at them and you know they're lying through their teeth and you're just nodding going, oh, aye, did you, aye, did you, aye. The Scottish saying, isn't it, when people say that now and they say, aye, did you, aye. Did you, aye. Which translated as, no, you never. Huh? But Jesus says, come. Jesus just said to the guys at the boats, a wedding, come. And they're just like, no problem, I'm with you. Spoken with authority. Now, some people don't listen. Some people can't. Some people's ears are clogged. Some people's hearts are clogged. Some people's minds are in chaos. And sometimes it's hard to hear truth. Sometimes it's hard to hear it. Because there's consequences to everything that we do. And there's a consequence to answering that call. See, those guys were going to face consequences. Because when Jesus said, come, they said, yep. And the minute they'd done that, they were going to face consequence. They'd no idea what it is. Sometimes we don't know what the consequences are when we're making a choice. Sometimes we do, and we face them bravely, or we'll cower from them. And I've done both. Sometimes I've been brave, and sometimes I've been a coward. Sometimes there's been opportunity before me where I could have spoke life to somebody. And those people are dead now, and I never done it. There's consequence. I will be called to answer. I will be called to give an answer as to why I never spoke when I should have spoke. Consequence. And it's life and death. But when Jesus says, come, you get up and you go. You get up and you go. And I was thinking about this, the consequences. Here's the consequences. Matthew 5:10-12. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. So the consequence for doing right is we're going to get persecuted. But there's an one. See, consequences aren't all bad. I used to think they were all bad because normally I get into trouble for the choices I made. So, you know, the consequences were all bad for me. I was getting a hiding half the time because, you know, steal or don't steal. I was stealing it. If it wasn't tied down, it was mine. That was the way I lived my life. You know, and there's consequences for doing the wrong thing. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Here it is. Be happy about it. Be very glad, not just happy, very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So, aye, there's going to be persecution, and we're going to have to face that. See, that's one of the consequences of, and when we're asked, are you going to come? I am going to come. All right, well, and then Jesus says, all right, now that you've said, aye, you're going to come, you're fully committed, here's what's going to happen. Well, I might have been a wee bit hasty when I said I was going to come and follow you there. Persecution, you say? Eh? That doesn't sound like my cup of tea. You're going to be persecuted either way. We're under attack either way. Our soul is on the line. Our eternity is on the line. Come. Just simple. Simple. Just come. Aye, you're going to be persecuted, but it's leading somewhere. Aye, it's not the easy option that the enemy's going to put before you. See, the enemy never shows you the end. He shows you the shiny start, but it's all glittering gold. He doesn't show you the end. When you're lying there alone in tears, hopeless and full of despair. See, that's his end. He doesn't show you that. He just shows you the shiny beginning, all the flashing lights and the... But Jesus, he just tells you the truth. I know you're going to be persecuted. But in the end up, heaven is ours. The kingdom of heaven will be ours because we're going to be persecuted. That's what it means to be a Christian today. There's going to be persecution. And everybody like, ah, oh, you're inspiring. Optimism. Ah, it's going to be rough for you. Yeah, but it is. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to stand up here and candy coat the truth, because the truth is the truth. But here's the thing. It's like when we answer that call, come. Yes, Jesus. Jesus doesn't just go, all right, you're going to be persecuted, you're on your own. No, I'm with you. And not only am I with you, but I'm going to give you everything you need to stand. Everything you need. I'm going to give you armour. There's a heavenly host standing, and I'm with you wherever you go. And you're like, ah, here, but that's actually all right here. That makes us feel better, and it should. It definitely should. So we're talking about, I guess, baptism. After baptism, Jesus went into the desert, was tested, and stood. The Spirit of God led him there. And see, when he came out of the desert, the Spirit of God was still with him. And sometimes you're going to get into desert places, but you'll stand because the Spirit of God is with you. He is with us. As we are with him, and if we are with him and he is with us, man, we are winning. We are winning. Don't be afraid. Aye, persecution is going to come. But joy will come as well. We're heading somewhere. This is a long game for us. It's a blink of an eye for him. But it's a long game for us. But here is the thing. When you're saying, yes, I'm going to come, you're saying, aye, I'm joining the winning side. Is that not good? I'm joining the winning side. You ever do that when you go, I don't know, when I was young, I'd go and play football. And what's the score? Ah, it's 11-1. You're like, whose team am I on? You're hoping you're on the 11 team, aren't you? You're hoping you're on the 11 team. Eh? And if not, they put me on a one team. Surely turn into a winning side. I've got some skills on a park. But we want to talk about that baptism. Baptismo, fully submerged, fully in. I'm all in. Yeah. I'm all in. Are you all in? What are you all in about? What is the choice that you've made for your life? What is the choice that you've made for your eternity? What is the choice that you've made for your broken heart? For your hurting soul? For your fractured mind, what is the choice that you've made? Well, I'm all in. I'm all in with the one that says I'm going to heal that. I'm the one that's in that says I'm going to give you a new heart. I needed that. I'm all in. I'm all in. Because Jesus gave his all. And my all's nothing compared to his. Thank goodness that he just pours and pours and pours and pours and pours. And I just stand there and I says, I need you. I need you. There's holes all over me. Flying out. My sinner saved. But I'm saved. And that started for me with those that had said, aye, I'll come. And for everybody that's sitting here who said, you know what, aye, Jesus, I'm going to come. There's going to be people further down the line and they're going to be looking to us. And they're going to want to hear about what Jesus is doing in our life, how he saves, what it means to accept that call upon my life. I'm getting there. Am I going on? No, I'm not going on. All right. Well, I don't know. Jonathan's like that. Well, and Jenny's like that. Nah, you're all right. Because it's baptisms, I want to read this. Romans 6, 3 to 11. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. New lives. I'm living a new life. You living an empty living a new life today? Come on now. Yes, yes, a couple of yous. Since we've been united with him in death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Thank you. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. It's like when we go into that water and we come up some, where I work, we'll talk to guys about what it means to be baptised, and they're like, so there's going to be a dove, and it's going to come down in a voice. I'm like, ah, no, what are you talking about? There might be. I mean, that would be cool, wouldn't it? That would be great. And who says that might happen? I'm not saying it's not going to happen. But it's not about that. It's about answering the call. It's about saying yes. And the thing is, when we do come out of that water, and we who truly believe, we know the significance of that. No longer slaves to sin. And then that presents what? Another choice. I made a commitment to God and I turned my back on him. And I walked away. And the whole time I was walking away, even running away, he's there behind me, his arms wide open, saying, turn round, turn round, turn round, turn round, turn round. And I'm just running and running and running and no want to turn round. And then I turn round, eventually see sense, and I make the choice to turn round, and he's there. And the consequence of that choice of turning round was Jesus standing there, throwing his arms round about me and saying, well done, that's a great decision you've made, you big idiot. Oh, I tell you, I've made some, my stupidity wears a cape and flies into Oz. But I've made some bad choices, but I've made some good choices. And I can tell you, when Jesus says to me, come, And I said, yes, it's the best choice I've ever made in my life. I'd say it's the best choice that any of us have ever made. It's the best choice that any of us will ever make or are ever going to make. It's fantastic. It's amazing. It's difficult. It's going to be hard. We're going to be persecuted. Oh, man. But they say it's darkest before dawn, don't they? And the light shines. And the darkness doesn't understand it. Flees from it. It flees from it. Aye, we might have to go through stuff. Who doesn't? Saved and unsaved are going through stuff. The difference is we know where we are going. We know we are on the winning side. We know that we're in need of a saviour. There's people walking about. There'll be people down there on that beach. Like, ah, what's that guy shouting about? I don't know. I'm not going up there in case they try and drag us in and offer us a seat. But some of them don't even know they need saved. Some of them don't even know they need a saviour. But they do. I need my saviour every day, by the way. It's not saved, but I need my saviour every day. Because if he's not walking with me every day, I'm making bad choices. And I'm going to suffer bad consequences. Because I've made bad choices and I know the consequence of it. But I've made good choices and the consequences, I'm not going to lie to you, sometimes have been bad. Because sometimes doing the right thing is hard. But it's the right thing. And it's the right thing when Jesus says to you, come. that you throw down your fishing net or whatever that may be in your life, because there's so many idols in which to choose from. It's so difficult, especially for young ones today. There's so much confusion, but our God isn't a God of confusion. He's the one that calms the storm. He's the one that tells the sea, oh, pack it in, and bring stillness and peace, so that we can have that moment just with him and say everything is going to be okay because he says so. He tells the truth. He doesn't tell his lies. He doesn't say it's going to be great, fantastic, easy going. No, he says it's going to be difficult, but in the end up, it's going to be glorious, glorious. And I'm going to end now because Jonathan's nodding, but I'm wanting to end with this. 1 Corinthians 18, I love it. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved, it is the very power of God. The very power of God. People are walking by like that, nutters. Nutters on it, but listen to them, because it's foolish. It was foolish to me. He did what? A sea monster ate him and spat him up in a beach street. Away you go. What are you talking about? Huh? But I loved it when Billy Graham says it, doesn't he, Matt? He says, if they tell me that he ate the sea creature and spat that up on the beach, I'd believe him if it was the word of God. But the word of God is truth. And it's simple. And here's what he's saying this morning. Come. Yeah. And to yous that are taking a step, we are going to celebrate with yous. And not only us, but there's a heavenly host. There's a heavenly host, and they're screaming and cheering and whooping and hollering, and they've got the balloons and everything. Huh? Celebration. It's not going to be easy, but you're not on your own. Entering into this beautiful family of God. Huh? Fantastic. I'm going to hand over to Jonathan because he's giving me the stairs and I'm getting worried. So, bless yous guys. Just, I want to pray, Lord, protect and keep those that are making that commitment to get into the water and to commit new life. Dying to the old self and rising with you in new life, Lord. We just thank you that they are making that choice today. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So just a question to each one of us from that, really, is what choice have you made? It's okay, isn't it, to look at the person next to us. But what's been your choice? Have you chosen Jesus? As Chris mentioned, he's made bad choices, he's made good choices. But the best choice he made was to accept Jesus. And every day, keep accepting Jesus as his Lord. And it's not just Jesus being believing in Jesus. Like I mentioned to somebody very recently, that when people say, I believe it, I said, well, the demons believe it. But the question is do they make Jesus Lord? No, they don't. That's the distinction. It's not just about believing it. It's about making Jesus Lord. So I'm just going to pray as Amy comes up with Ben for the do a bit more worship time. And I'm just going to pray, just give people an opportunity to say yes to Jesus, to move it from head knowledge to belief to actual heart knowledge of saying, actually, I want him to be Lord of my life and to actually bring a change, to bring that transformation. I don't want to be battling it alone. I want Jesus at my side, who will then empower me to live the life. So, dear Lord, we just come before you now. We come as we are. You know who we are. You know our history, our story. You know what's been done to us. You know what we've done to other people. And we want to say sorry to you that we have decided to be Lord of our own lives up to now. And Lord, that we've made mistakes as a result. And we put ourselves in positions that haven't been great at times. But today, we want to make that choice. We want to make that choice to say yes to you. Not only to believe in you, but to make you Lord and God of our lives. We thank you today. And we thank you that you promised to give us the Holy Spirit, God Himself, living in us and working through us. So we just say, come Holy Spirit, transform our lives and help us to live your way as you lead us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.